Can the Fed step in to help the economy where Washington politicians have failed?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Federal Reserve meets today and tomorrow, and one big item on the agenda is interest rates. Board members will be talking about a new idea called Operation Twist, in an effort to fire up the economy at a time when the White House and Congress haven't been able to do much of anything. Marketplace's Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale is with us live with a preview of today's big Fed meeting. Morning, John.
Good morning, Steve.
So what is exactly the twist supposed to do?
Well, it's designed to reduce long-term interest rates, and that should make mortgages and loans for big corporate construction projects cheaper.
Don't we already have low interest rates, John, and yet the economy is still stuck in neutral?
You're right. You're right. Interest rates, both long and short, are at record lows already with little benefit for the economy. The problem is that borrowers seem to be too afraid to take on new debt. And that's why many analysts, such as Roberto Perli at ISI Group, seem to be skeptical that Operation Twist will have much impact. But he says that with the economy in a stall, the Fed has to do something.
If you're the Fed, I think you're going to take every single extra tenth of a percent of growth that you can get. In other words, you don't necessarily expect miracles from your policies, but every little help that you can provide is important because it keeps you away from recession territory.
So what other options, John, does the Fed have to grow the economy, even if by very little?
A couple other ideas at this two-day meeting, including giving banks more incentives to take their money out of the Fed's vaults so that they invest those idle dollars into the economy. And then there's the last resort. The Fed could consider another injection of cheap money into the system, a third wave of so-called quantitative easing, which is a less catchy name than Operation Twist.
Well, we'll all go dancing. All right. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reporting from Washington for us. John, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
No secret that the housing market's been a huge drag on the economy, and more news this morning that confirms that. Builders started 5% fewer homes in August compared to the month before. Another sign there are too many homes already built and for sale or foreclosed. Let's do the numbers. Overseas markets are mostly higher at the moment, an average of about 1.5%, despite Italy's credit rating getting downgraded by Standard & Poor's. The country's reeling since the S&P announcement late yesterday. Italian officials say they're working hard to boost the country's economy and reduce its debts. Asian shares were mostly higher today, with the exception of Tokyo, which lost a little ground. U.S. markets yesterday, stocks started the week on a downward trajectory. The Dow gave back 108 points, less than 1%, to close at 11,401. Today, General Motors said it'll help its Chinese partner develop electric cars in China, but it wants something in return. GM is holding its board of directors meeting in China. And from Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Rob Schmitz.
In 2009, GM was on the verge of bankruptcy. In a desperate move for cash, the company sold a 1% stake of its China joint venture to its Chinese partner for $84 million. That 1% gave its partner SAIC a 51% majority control of its China operations. Michael Dunn, author of a book about GM, says GM's wanted it back ever since.
When you have 51% of the joint venture in China, it means you set strategy, you appoint members to the board of directors, and you're also in charge of the money.
But if GM reclaims its 50% stake,
all of those top important strategic topics must be agreed upon before any decisions are taken. That's the difference.
GM hopes to buy back that share this week. The move is part of a larger display of GM's newfound confidence in China. The company just announced a new electric vehicle partnership with China, but GM's CEO said earlier this week that he's not about to share the most crucial electric vehicle battery technology with China. Proof that cooperation with China only goes so far. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. and by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
To all our jack-o'-lantern fans in the Northeast, this story is probably going to make you scream. Seems Hurricane Irene damaged a lot of pumpkin patches along the East Coast. And as Marketplace's Sarah Gardner reports now, that could mean pricier pumpkins in that region of the country.
This year's northeastern pumpkin crop appears to be cursed. Jim Murray grows the Halloween staple in upstate New York.
The season started out bad right from the get-go.
Heavy spring rains delayed planting, which means less growing time before retailers demand them in stores for Halloween. Then, flooding from Hurricane Irene destroyed hundreds of pumpkin patches.
We're going to have about 50% of a crop.
The shortage could jack up jack-o'-lantern prices in the Northeast this season, but Justin Talley at Fry Farms in Illinois wants to squash that fear.
Even on short years, sometimes pumpkins may be harder to find, but the price usually falls within the same realm that they've seen in the past.
But this season's trick on northeastern pumpkin farmers may be a treat for growers in the Midwest. Pumpkin farms in states like Ohio and Indiana are prepared to ship some of their crop east to ease the shortage. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And finally, by now, you probably have heard Netflix is going to focus solely on streaming movies online, spinning off its DVD-by-mail service to a new company it's calling Quixtar, with a QW. Well, nobody was more surprised than Jason Castillo, whose Twitter account, at Quixtar, is spelled the same way. In just one day, Castillo has amassed thousands of new friends and an offer for the Quixtar folks to sell his handle for the right price. In the meantime, Jason, or Quixtar's got other more technical things on his mind, like tweeting about getting stung by a bee before going to play soccer. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Don't Ask, Don't Tell goes away on Tuesday, but people discharged under the policy wanting to get back into the service isn't going to be all that easy.
It's not the Navy that it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. The retention across the military is high. The Marine Corps has a waiting list to get in.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Big lines, long waits. Next time on Marketplace from APM, that's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.